Welcome to Camera Ready and Able, the podcast that explores the intersection of media change and personal growth. I'm your host, Barbara Barna Able, and my calling is to help you tap into your superpowers to thrive on camera and in life, and to make an impact on the world. This episode is brought to you by the phrase rock and roll spirit, one of those elusive things that is difficult to define, but you know it when you feel it. I hit the Googles and words that came up repeatedly were freedom, rebellion, anger, enthusiasm, and empowering. Plus, this one from the Collins Dictionary online, rock and roll spirit is characterized by a strong rhythm with an accent on the offbeat. My guest for this episode, Allison Hagendorf, brings her rock and roll spirit to everything she does, and I'm dying to hear how she defines it. Allison is an accomplished music journalist, media personality, music executive, and the host of the recently launched podcast, The Allison Hagendorf Show, featuring interviews with some of the most globally iconic musicians and tastemakers. Allison is the former head of rock at Spotify and started her career as an A&R executive at Columbia and Epic Records before transitioning to being a TV host and music journalist for Fuse Television and the CW's music competition show The Next, as well as the X Games on ABC and ESPN. And the list goes on and on. Not to mention, Allison became the official host of Times Square New Year's Eve starting in 2012 for over 1 million revelers and over 1 billion global live stream viewers, which includes me every year. So welcome, Allison. I am thrilled to have this long overdue conversation with you.
I am so glad to be here. And, you know, you played a huge role for me in my career, me pursuing my dreams. I've always wanted to be a television host. And when I made that decision and I was going to do it full time, I signed up for all of your classes. And really, you really kind of put me on the path to just keep going. And I'm very, very proud of that.
Allison, I can't tell you, I've told this to a million people. I mean, there's something called the it factor. And I remember the moment you walked into my class, it had to be 2003, maybe. And it was at TVI, which doesn't even exist anymore. And we were in a black box theater and you got up there and started talking. I was like, wow. Wow. And I even remember your final presentation where it was pretending to be like auditioning for a show for Discovery. And you just went above and beyond, which I think circles back to what we're talking here about rock and roll spirit, because you bring it to everything you do. So in that class where I'm just getting to know you when you're really young, you never did just the minimum that was required. You went all out. And then we stayed in touch and I auditioned you over the years. And by the way, for anyone listening, certainly, I mean, music, of course, but you also bring this to being like a dog whisperer. I remember bringing you for, Animal Planet projects.
Yes.
You're a total science nerd and like majored in science in college. And who would know that? Complete foodie, totally into health and wellness. Fitness before that was trendy, created your own fitness platform, Fit to Feast, which I found totally inspiring back in the day. We'll never hit your like level of fitness, but truly, truly inspiring. So with all that, explain to me, like, when did rock and roll even enter your life?
It was definitely a part of my life from day one, because I was raised on music and rock and roll, but my mother grew up with American Bandstand, and I remember her showing me reruns of it. And I saw Dick Clark and I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to be Dick Clark. I thought it was so cool that he was the one introducing new music and new artists to the fans. And then of course, being part of the MTV generation, that then evolved into wanting to be a VJ on MTV. And that's really what I wanted to do. But like you said, I was a total science nerd and I was an academic. So I went to college, graduated pre-med and pre-vex. I loved animals and human anatomy and the whole thing. And then I won College Rep of the Year. And as a result, I got a job offer at Columbia and Epic Records. But I knew that Matt Pinfield, my favorite VJ, worked at Columbia Records. So I said, I will take that job. And then the rest was history after that.
Wait, one, this is pretty impressive because it's pre-internet, I think. And so the fact that you had the whole, amazing Matt Pinfield story down. But also, how did you become Rep of the Year? So that means you're college Rep of the Year for Columbia? What does that even mean?
Yeah, so when I was at Penn State, I became the Sony College Rep there, and you're given a list of priority artists for Epic and Columbia. And I guess you had to show like innovative ways that you were promoting as artists on and off of campus. And I went to Penn State, so it's known for its Greek system. So that's how I incorporated it. And I just made sure every massive four-way or six-way party that I was at every single person at that party knew about the bands that I was talking about. So for example, the band Crazy Town was popular at the time with that song Butterfly, and the girl was tatted with pigtails and she had this lollipop she was sucking on. I went out with like a million lollipops tagged with the local request line, and I dressed up as the girl. So I made sure all of these kids knew about that song. So just sort of like innovative Greek system ideas like that. And then when I got to Columbia Records, even though my job had nothing to do with Matt Pinfield, I suggested every single day to HR and Matt Pinfield, I'm like, I will do my current job, but please allow me to also assist Matt. And then finally, after months of this perseverance, they created that position for me. And then I just became Matt Pinfield's right hand and fell in love with actually doing A&R and scouting talent and making records and got really into the music industry. But yeah, I definitely had to make that position happen.
Okay, I love, because you know what I'm hearing now too, is part of the rock and roll spirit is kind of a singular vision and a relentlessness in pursuing that vision.
Yes.
At whatever those costs are, you know what I mean? Because you make sacrifices. It just meant in the sense that it's like, you might've been slightly annoying to the HR team. You might also have, but I mean, like there might've been other things you might want to do. It's like, nope, I'm not going to go to do that thing, because I have a really singular determination to go succeed in this. And that's incredible. So I want to circle back to Dick Clark for a second, because when I was growing up, it didn't even occur to me to want to be the host of the show, because there were no women hosting shows, or I don't recall that. I wanted to be a dancer on American Bandstand, because I thought that was first of all, I loved dance, but it seemed like that was an attainable goal. But the other thing about Dick Clark is he was a mogul and had a vision before a lot of other people did. And Dick Clark Productions, enormously influential for decades, still exists. Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve for, you know, a million bajillion years. So my segue here really is to say, you know, in terms of you building your media empire, and what's the rock and roll spirit and dream we're bringing to the Allison Hagendorf show?
Yeah, I think that the rock and roll spirit is not only the relentlessness and the perseverance, but it's also knowing you have to create your own path. And that what you want to do might not have been done before. You know, it's a trailblazing attitude and mindset. So I wanted to be Dick Clark. And when I finally got to be the official host of Times Square New Year's Eve, for me, it was like a very symbolic moment for me, because, okay, here's something else that Dick Clark, granted Dick Clark was his own production company, his own show, and this was not my own show, but to even just be part of such that, you know, the global crossroads of the world, it made me feel very proud. I knew I still had a long way to go, and I still have a long way to go. But throughout my career, now I've been interviewing artists for over 20 years, and really that's all I really want to do, is to host shows and interview artists. But it was never for my own show. You know, I would get hired to host things for various television shows or festivals or different networks. So it's just, this is long overdue. And the Allison Hagendorf show was something that I've always wanted to do. And I'm finally doing it.
What's the biggest challenge now that when you're responsible for everything?
Yes.
Because, I mean, they're pros and cons. So I just want to get, it's like, what's the biggest joy and what's the biggest challenge?
The biggest joy is that it's 100% my show. And, you know, my whole thing is, it's the guests. I care so much about the artists, and I care so much about creating a safe space for them and to provide a platform for them to share whatever they want to share. I'm not the type of journalist that's trying to get in there and get them to say things. I'm the opposite of that. You know, I like that I have the reputation of being a safe space for guests. And of course, the difficult part of it is that you're doing every single thing yourself, the outreach, the booking, you know, the research, the questions. That's the fun stuff, though. But, you know, it's all the other stuff, the marketing, the cut downs for socials, all that kind of stuff I do not enjoy doing as much. I wish I could just do the show. You know, I do contests and giveaways for each episode, just all of, like, the details of that kind of stuff and the logistics. And it is hard to do also because I have two babies. So the timing is not great, being that I have a 7-month-old and a 3-year-old, but there is nothing more rewarding than having a vision and bringing it to fruition. And I don't care what it takes. There's nothing more rewarding than doing your own show. That's what I've always wanted to do.
Well, I want to go back to Trailblazer for a sec, because you're pretty modest about it, but I remember when you created Fit to Feast, there, I'd never seen anything like it, where you were combining food, fitness, and rock and roll. And I was like, this is amazing.
Thank you. You know, as a New Yorker, I was the typical New Yorker that was like, I'm never leaving New York. LA sucks, you know, the whole thing. And then when I hosted the show for the CW, the next, and I lived in LA for the first time, I was like, LA is awesome. It has all the high stakes of New York at the restaurants and the shows and everything, but much better weather. So I moved to LA, and I would get invited to a lot as like a fitness influencer personality. I would get invited to a lot of fitness things and events, and none of them spoke to me. I just thought they were a lot about dieting and green juice and like just very like non-challenging fitness. And I just was like, I liked the ideas and I loved meeting people, but it didn't speak to me. And I thought that you could still love fitness and still love great food. And it doesn't have to be about deprivation. It's about celebration. So I created Fit to Feast, which is about being your personal best while still eating up life and celebrating your body, celebrating the fitness that you love and great food and great music. So I created this event series that sort of married all of them, and they were a blast, and everyone had a great workout and everyone had a great meal after. It was such a fun thing. And I did that until I got the Spotify job, and I had to really focus on that. But I loved doing Fit to Feast. It was awesome.
Wait, we talked about this a little bit before we started recording. Was one, the whole use of the term rock star, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on that because that was funny. But the other thing too is realizing how many other industries started to become rock stars. I just meant like in the early 2000s, chefs started to become rock stars.
Yes, yes.
Right? And now, yes. You know, you have gamers who are kind of rock stars and athletes who are rock stars. And what does that actually, you know, mean? But I love it because, again, to your point, like we know it when we see it. That one is a rock star. That one's not a rock star.
Yeah, I mean, I think the word rock star is now very commonplace. And I even love the Super Bowl ad with Joan Jett and Paul Stanley and Gary Clark Jr. and Ozzy sort of making fun of people overusing the term rock star. But of course, it comes from a place from the original rock stars, who were literal rock stars, who were trailblazers and physically did things that no one else can do, you know. But now I think now it lends itself to a certain, it's an it factor, it's an energy, it's a willingness to do whatever it takes. Because whether you're a rock star chef or a rock star athlete, you know, having the skills is just one part of it, right? There's a lot of talented chefs, a lot of talented athletes, but it's that extra it factor and going above and beyond that makes someone a rock star. It means something else.
Yeah, but I was just, as you were saying that, it popped to my head. It's also about willing to take risks. And sometimes it's something innate, almost where it's like, a rational person like me would be like, that's too big a risk. And the true rock star is like, I can't not. Like, it's like breathing air. If I don't do this, if I don't get this thing out of me, whatever it is, I'll stop breathing. And I was like, and I am in awe of that because I do not possess it.
Yeah, I think real rock stars don't want to do what everyone else is doing. That makes them uncomfortable. I think they feel more comfortable outside of a comfort zone. You know, like that's where they feel they're most comfortable, doing something that hasn't been done before, doing something that's unexpected, doing something that no one's done prior to them.
You once said to me that it was super rock and roll to bring your rock and roll spirit to a corporate environment. So,
yes.
Which I love. So can you explain or walk me through a little bit, like, how do you navigate that?
It is tough. Yeah. I mean, look, I still chose to work at corporations and record labels while still waving the flag for rock and roll, but it sort of kind of goes with the doing whatever it takes. Sometimes it's really rock and roll to be able to do something that's trailblazing, not in an environment conducive to that. It's almost more exciting and exhilarating to see how you can navigate in a place that's stifling to actually make your own path and achieve what you're setting out to accomplish.
I think you also said a lot has to do with energy.
It sure does. It's all energy, all energy.
Right. And I just see how lit up you are talking about this. So you imagine that's what you bring into any space, right? So it's exhilarating. And not only for you, but I imagine like if I'm sitting in a corporate space and it's, you know, I'm at Dunder Mifflin and you walk in with that energy, that's it's transformational. That's really wonderful.
It is. I think it is. I think that it's a breath of fresh air and people, it's magnetic, right? So people just want to be part of it. And how cool is that when you have an idea that you maybe you're the only one that has the vision for it, but then other people also want to be part of it and you can actually make things happen that you thought can never be done.
Well, I want to talk about vision because I had mentioned this too before we recorded, is that rock and roll to me when growing up was very male. I mean, it's still a very male dominated concept. And then I saw the amazing Yola play Sister Rosetta Tharpe in the Elvis movie. Yes. And I was like, what? And I had to hit the Googles big time and I was blown away. So for anyone listening, most of us do not know who Sister Rosetta Tharpe is. I mean, she's the first, she's the originator. She created what original. We know as rock and roll guitar. So I'd love for you to weigh in, because it completely transformed, really, I can't say it enough, and reclaiming the sacred feminine and knowing that that's a part of rock and roll, because she was doing all this and distorting her guitar and she looked gorgeous and unapologetic in a dress and was amazingly feminine.
She is the original rock star. She is the original rock star. Everyone we know as the early rock stars and rock and rollers are from her. She was a pioneer. She was the progenitor. She was the creator. She literally created and performed guitar sounds like distortion that had not been heard or done before. She did it all while wearing beautiful dresses and was combining elements of music, rhythm, blues, gospel, everything. And she created rock and roll. I mean, it's the coolest thing. There's Little Richard because of her. There is Buddy Holly because of Little Richard, because of her, so she is the home base and the creator of rock and roll.
Yeah. And I think it's such an important conversation because representation matters. And I think how different it'd be if I had seen Sister Rosetta Tharpe as a little girl. And now I think about girls now, and especially girls of color in terms of reclaiming history. And it's so important.
So important. And that's why I'm so grateful and love Nandi Bushell so much. What a rock star she is. She is a rock star. She will be 13. She is not only an incredible drummer, Dave Grohl called her the coolest drummer in the world, but she can play a multitude of instruments. She's a really adept saxophone player, piano player, songwriter, producer. She's putting out her own music. I mean, she is more than just a symbol of progress and hope. She's an incredible human inspiration and rock star herself.
Do you consider her a prodigy?
She is. Yes, she's amazing. Wow. She's a guest on my show coming up. So I'm excited for everyone to hear that interview with her. She's very special.
Oh, wait, I'm excited for this because now just kind of as a preview, if you can give me a little tease, because how is she handling that? Because it's, even having met kids who were academically genius, that's a lot to handle. And she sounds like she's pretty well adjusted, which is amazing, which means I want to meet her parents.
Yes. And I've spoken with her. Her father is great. And I think she's doing so well because she has a great relationship with her parents and they are a beautiful family. And her brother, her younger brother, also plays and is also an incredible musician. So it's something you really do as a family and support each other. And I think because there's that strong familial foundation that she's doing great. She's so humble and she's so sweet and very prolific. And I asked her, I'm like, you don't really have much time to do, much other stuff. She doesn't want to. She practices and she's writing her music and it's really what she loves to do.
Wow, that's incredible to think about, because I don't know what it's like to tap into that at such a young age.
Yeah.
For many of us spending many years trying to figure out like, what am I here for? Or what am I good at? Or, what should I be doing? So that's just, again, incredible to have that. Wow. Okay. So I can't wait to hear when that comes out. When is your podcast drop weekly, by the way?
Every Friday morning.
So when you look out into the world on any given day, does it actually show up in your head as kind of a like a checklist or a filter, like that person's rock and roll, that person's not rock and roll? I don't even mean in a judgy way, but like if you're reading the news or watching, like who in the public eye that's not a rock star do you think is a rock star?
Or
embodies
the
rock and roll spirit, I guess, is what I'm going at.
Yeah. You know who I love? You know who I think is a total rock star is Issa Rae. I think she's so cool.
Amen, sis. Her.
Like to me, she's a rock star. Like Issa Rae is a rock star. I'm a huge fan of her. I think she's so talented. She's a trailblazer. She's a creator. I'm obsessed with her. I love her. I just love everything she's doing. I think she's so cool and she's a total rock star.
You know, I love that example too, because she's obviously really strong, has such an incredible vision. I don't know if I can say this. I was going to say, but she's not an asshole.
Right.
And it's she's my likeable. Podcast. I guess I can say whatever I want, but does that, you know what I'm saying? Is she has so much the courage of her convictions without being a jerk about it, which means, and to succeed at her level in media is about relationship building.
It sure is. And she's just so likable and aspirational. I just can't wait to see. Yeah. Amy Schumer is a rock star. Amy Schumer is a rock star.
Wait, and that's funny because going back to our time at Fuse, I cast Amy Schumer to be, oh my God, what was the name of the show? Why am I blanking?
Mark Hoppus.
Oh my God, I'm just having a moment.
Yeah.
Because by the way, it's the one credit not on Amy's resume. I don't think she's as thrilled about it as we were, but she was so freaking amazing.
She was so good on it. She was so good. Yeah.
As was
I
miss
those Fuse
show,
days. But... yeah. The Fuse days were so fun. And I feel fortunate I got to meet Amy early on. And just to see how her career continues to take off and what she does. I mean, she's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So fun times, like what, okay, if you have to do it, and I know this is a cliche question and it's kind of like Sophie's Choice, but favorite best interview?
Favorite best interview would have to be Queen. I had Brian May and Roger Taylor on my show. And that was it. It was one of the greatest days of my life. Yeah. That was surreal. And honestly, I just recently interviewed Sheryl Crow for my show, and what a delight. I mean, she's a rock star, but she's like literally a rock star. But she is an unbelievable human, and inspiring and trailblazing and mother of two. She's a hero. I love her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wait, who's your dream guest on your podcast now?
My dream guest would have to be Bono. I love Bono. I love not just his talent. He's what a humanitarian he is, how altruistic he is, how he gives back. I know his new memoir. I love the way he raised his children. I love that Allie's his high school sweetheart. I think he's an amazing human being.
I totally agree. I just kept thinking though, I hope you can get a word in edgewise on your podcast with him.
I would be okay to just listen. I would be okay.
No, I'm with you. Cause I joke that I love his memoir. It's so good, but you could turn a drinking game into every time he says Mikhail Gorbachev, pop one. But on the other hand, he's a beautiful writer and has so much depth and insight. Oh, I agree with you. I look forward to that.
Yeah. Yes. I'm manifesting it. We'll see.
Oh, my podcast is all about manifesting. So put it, whatever you want to speak into existence, Allison, the floor is yours. Do it right now.
Perfect. I'm here for you, Bono. Whenever you're ready, here I am.
Absolutely. And so where can everybody find the Allison Hagendorf Show?
Sure. So it drops every Friday morning and it's wherever people listen to podcasts. And if you want to watch it, it's on YouTube and Instagram. And my handle's at Allie Hagendorf and AllisonHagendorf.com, my website. You could find it all there as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. It is so great. And I, for one, have been a fan of yours. It's 20 years now, Allison.
It's crazy. That is insane. I cannot believe that.
And here's the thing. It's like, you're not even done.
I feel like I'm just getting started. I'm finally getting started on what I was meant to do many years ago. But you know what? The timing is everything. It all worked out because I had to do all of the different jobs and gigs and detours to get to this point to give my show my all. I'm ready for it.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, love. And thank you for listening to Camera Ready and Able. If you want to get into momentum and turn your dream into your reality, shoot me a note via my website, ableintermedia.com. And be sure to download my free ebook, 12 Tips for Success on Camera. And as always, please hit the subscribe button if you haven't already.